Blog Talk Radio.
We believe in home and all the magical things that come with it. We believe in forts made from sofa cushions and blankets, licking the frosting off the mixer, and hanging masterpieces on the refrigerator door. We believe in gardens and that the sun recharges your soul. We believe in sending your neighbors smoke signals and celebrating for no reason at all. We believe in Friday night sleepovers and Sunday morning sleep-ins. We believe in the man cave, the woman cave, and having a lock on the master bedroom door. And finally, we believe your home really is your castle, and that our calling in life is to find the one that's perfect for you. Coldwell Banker, fulfilling dreams for over 100 years.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Texas Big Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Brad Richard, and we are back live. It's 3 o'clock Central Time. It is December 11th, and we are back with another live show. Just want to let the listeners know that we have one more live show in 2017, which will be next Monday at 3. And then we will have a special Christmas show on Monday the 25th, but we will not be live. So just mark your calendars and put that down. Check out our Christmas special on the 25th. The Texas Big Real Estate Show, like I said, will not be live on Christmas Day, but we will have a Christmas show for you to tune into. So this week we have a special guest with us, Brandon Bannister. He is with Bannister Plumbing. Also, we have a featured realtor this week, Chris McGeary, and she is a realtor with Caldwell Banker out of Tyler, Texas. In the little slideshow video player that you are viewing, if you're tuning in live or if you're listening via archive or to the podcast, Chris's listings are there with the MLS numbers and the prices, and you can see photos of some of her listings that she has currently for sale, as well as her contact information. And Bannister Plumbing, their banner is there as well, and their contact information is there on the video player. And in the show description, if you click on Bannister Plumbing in blue, it'll take you directly to their website. So with all that being said, welcome, Brandon. Are you there with me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a long intro.
No, that's good. You're good.
It's good. Well, I wanted to start off by thanking you. I appreciate you being on the show with us this week. And our show is for sellers and buyers and people that just absolutely love real estate and homes here in East Texas. And if you want to start off giving us just a little background on your company, when it was started, and how you got into the plumbing industry and got into this this very busy business, I'm sure, especially in East Texas.
Yes, sir. We started the business in 2007, me and my wife, and it's grown from me, my wife, and two employees to me, my wife, and about 36, 38 employees now. And
wow.
But we do anything in plumbing. We do a lot of residential new construction. People have probably seen our signs in the Parade of Homes every year. But we also do a little bit of light commercial work, not a lot. We do more residential new construction than commercial new construction. And then we're also in the home service business. We do a lot of service, plumbing services of all kinds, from drain cleaning to just repairs to replacements to slab leak detection. We also do relining now. We have a new technology out that we just partnered with of a company out of Canada that all these old cast iron pipes and clay pipes, you know, in the old housing part of Tyler, that we can actually have a relining process. We can reline those old pipes instead of digging them up and replacing them, so we don't have to go in and disturb the home and tear everything up. So We do anything and everything that has to do with plumbing. We're a part of it. So,
do you guys get involved with septic systems? There's so many septics here in East Texas, out in the rural areas. Are you involved with septic systems
we
as well?
We do new installs. We don't do any pumping. We usually refer them to a company if it has to be a system that needs to be pumped out. But as far as replacement of field line or a new system or something, we do.
You do that as well? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the questions that I had, and I also encourage the listeners, if you're tuning into us live today, and you have a question, a plumbing question for Brandon Bannister, you can call at 347-996-3057, 347-996-3057. We'll do our best to take your calls today. If not, just visit them on the website at Bannister Plumbing. Click on the link there, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to answer your questions. But some of the questions that I wanted to kind of cover with you is, what is the most common plumbing issue that homeowners run into in this neck of the woods?
A lot of it's going to be a lot of calls that we get are we do a lot of drain calls. We do a lot of drainage problems, a lot of drain cleaning. We do lots of it. We have probably 3 to 4 whole house stoppages called in a day.
Wow.
And water heater replacements. I mean, a lot of water heater replacements. Just your usual maintenance, wear and tear of stuff. I mean, just stuff wears out, and we get a lot of calls, whether it be a faucet or a tub or a drain underneath the sink or something. But I would say, our stoppages, our water heaters, stuff like that, and just I would say a lot of it's to do with just, there's no kind of maintenance, programs out there really. Like on your water heaters, a water heater just – we install the water heater as a homeowner. We have it installed, and we just use it, and there's no kind of maintenance done to it. And, we do a lot of water heaters that used to last. We go into some of these houses, and these water heaters are 20 years old. And nowadays, as a homeowner, it's hard to get one to last, to outlive the warranty of the manufacturer, which is mostly 6 years. And a lot of that's due to, it's recommended to flush these heaters once a year. If you'll flush, you actually come out, and get your plumbing contractor to come out and do an annual flush on that heater. And then, every 3 to 4 years to change out the anode rod in it, you'll see the life of these heaters really extends, And
sure.
So we have certain maintenance programs that we offer and yearly programs that we offer. We come out, as a membership, and we'll come out and actually flush these heaters year round annually. We do a 360-point inspection while we're out flushing the heater. It's part of the membership and it's part of the maintenance program. And we just do a 360-point whole house inspection, and we check everything from the water meter to everything in the house to where the sewer comes out of the house. It's a 360-point inspection that we go through with a homeowner. We actually flush the heater. I mean, it's a whole deal. It's just a lot of stuff can be, a lot of the stuff that we get calls can be prevented, with a routine maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about well water? There's, several properties that are on wells.
Yes.
What do you do or how much do you get involved with that when it's on well water?
As far as the wells, we don't do as far as replacing pumps or anything like that. We recommend you calling a well, a certified guy to put in well pumps. We don't do that. But as far as filtration, we do offer whole house filtrations, whether it be on rural water, municipal water, or well water. And if it is a well, what we do is we as far as, the thing with wells is there's so many different aquifers that you can, drill into to spend on how much money you want to spend on that well.
Right.
And a lot of people, some people it's just not in their budget to spend $20,000 on a well for their house. So they end up spending $7,000 on a well, and you go to that first aquifer, and, you have a little bit of iron in the water or a little bit of sulfur or a little bit of lignite, whatever it is, minerals, different minerals in. And we have extra filters that we can come out and do a test on that and provide a whole house filtration system that will take care of those problems, in the wells.
Okay. One of the things that I've ran across, me and my wife Michelle, we've seen this in many houses that we have shown and houses that we've listed. There is such a wide variety of different plumbing fixtures, not necessarily the fixtures, but the supply lines. In your opinion, what's the best material or the best fittings to use? I mean, we've seen the gray supply lines, you know, that actually provide the water to the fixtures, the toilet bowls, the sinks, and that kind of stuff. And then there's other products that are clear or that they look like they have a mesh in them. What's the best type of supply lines that may be already in the house or that can be put in as an upgrade, a better quality line than what we have seen when we go out and look at houses? Some of the lines are, they look like just, you know, thin plastic supply lines.
Right. Yes, sir. No, our opinion is we recommend stainless braided hoses. There's different hoses that you can buy all over the place. There's 100 different types. Back in the older days, everybody would use copper, and they had a copper bending tool that they would bend the copper and use a 3/8 copper flex. It was real rigid in there. But after time, it would corrode and create a leak and different things. We use the stainless braided hoses. What they are, they're 100% stainless braided material. You don't have to worry about water pressure. I mean, they're just so much more durable. A lot of the hoses that you'll see are either be plastic, they'll be rubber material, almost like a water hose, or there'll be a rubber inside material with a braided jacket around them, but they still have the rubber material, but the braided jacket is just to hold the rubber from bursting. And that's why we recommend just solid stainless braided material. And a lot more durable, a lot more, they're a lot more capable of handling the higher water pressures and just the wear and tear of use. And the number one cause of water floods in housing is most time your washing machine hoses. And because a lot of people they go and buy their appliances when they just buy the rubber hoses, put the rubber hoses, or the rubber hoses comes with their appliance when they buy that washing machine. And they put the rubber hoses on there, and, you know, it's the same thing as what happens if you put a spray nozzle on a garden hose and you leave your garden hose out there with the water turned on, that spray nozzle, the water heater, the garden hose is going to swell up, and after time it's going to burst a hole in it. And that's the same concept with the rubber hoses. But you can buy those little rubber, gray-looking rubber supply hoses for your commode fixtures, for your sink, your lavatory, your kitchen sink fixtures, and also for your washing machine, you know. Like I say, there's the best thing that we found, and like I say, this is our opinion, but it's the stainless braided hoses is all that's all we use. That's all we'll install. We don't even offer an option for the others because we stand behind our stuff. Like I say, that's the only thing that we offer is the stainless steel material.
And that's for sinks and commodes, and I mean, they use that for everything.
Yes, washing machines, dishwashers, anything that we use a flex line coming from the supply out of the wall up to the fixture is going to be a stainless. Is going to be a braided hose.
Mm-hmm. Something else I've noticed in a lot of these older houses, you know, that we've been in, it's pretty common to not have shutoff valves.
Yes.
How important is that? I mean, I think it is, but I mean, I think it's important to have those installed and put in, you know, for every fixture. But boy, there's just so many of them where there's just straight lines, and you gotta turn the main meter off if you ever have a problem. And yes. Is that something that you'd recommend, putting in shutoff valves for all
yes,
fixtures?
Yes, sir. I mean, that's a huge thing, and it's very important, and it's you know, the number one shutoff, you know, everybody should have an emergency shutoff valve to kill the water to their house. And we go to a lot of houses, and there's no way to shut the water off unless the homeowner has to go to the water meter. Well, when you have a problem and it's 11 o'clock at night and it's cold and wet outside, it's the last thing you want to do is go outside, dig the meter up, and try to, you know, get in there and turn that water meter off, you know, with a curb stop. And so what we recommend is, if you don't have it, or if you do have it, then is knowing where it's at, is have an emergency shutoff valve wherever that water enters your house. But a ball valve, a gate valve, some kind of full port valve that will, it's emergency shutoff for your whole house. That way, if you have a problem and you're not able to shut it off at the appliance, or, you know, something breaks, you know where that emergency shutoff valve is, and you can kill the water before anything, you know, it causes any kind of major damage to your home.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing is your shutoff valves. You know, shutoff valves are very important. You know, if you have a problem with a commode, or you have a problem with a sink or something, and it's really important to have that shutoff valve right there, to where you can just kill the water there, and call whoever your plumbing contractor is, and, you know, at least you got the water's, it's not going to cause any damage. You got it shut off until you can get a plumber out to your home.
Mm-hmm. Another, and then this is all, you know, great information. I think it's really beneficial for people just to kind of get a better understanding, especially, I mean, sellers, as far as sellers and buyers, but homeowners in general, just to know some things that they need to be aware of, that may cost a little bit of money up front, but it'll save them a lot of money in the long term. Another thing that, as far as the different, I mean, I know there's a lot of different plumbing fixtures, water saving fixtures. I know, like, well, I don't know about sinks, but I know, like, toilets, you know, there's water saving toilets and things of that nature. What's some of the pointers, or what's some of the things that you could recommend homeowners do to extend the life of their fixtures, their supply lines? And another thing that goes along with that is, what is the easiest way for someone to detect if they have a leak that they can't see or hear, but let's say their water bill goes up astronomically high and they really don't, they don't understand why. Is there some tricks of the trade that people can use to determine if they have a leak that they can't see or hear?
Yes, sir. And yes, sir, I'll touch on all of them. And first off, real quick, back to your talking about, you're just talking about the water saving fixtures out there. And you know, we'll go to commodes first, real quick. We'll touch on that. But, you know, years ago, everybody had the 3.5 gallon flush commodes. And that was all that was out there. And these commodes, you know, you would flush them and they would just go around 8 times in the bowl before they flushed, and they just used a ton of water. So now, I can't remember the exact year, but so they went from 3.5 gallon flush commodes to 1.6 gallon. And that was probably, oh gosh, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when they went to the 1.6 gallon flush. Well, in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, they've actually now gone out to a 1.28 gallon. And so they keep getting smaller gallons per flush. And so what they did is they just actually created the throats bigger in the commodes, to where they would take more of that, you know, instead of having like a 2-inch throat, now they got 4.5-inch throats, you know. And,
oh, wow.
And so they were taking, they had bigger internal traps inside, so they're able to take everything at one time. Instead of just taking forever to go around the bowl and flush, so now they're just, everything kind of disappears at one time. And that's how they kind of get away with the 1.2, you know, the 1.28 gallon flush commodes now. And so, okay. And then you also had the dual flush, you know, they had the dual flush, and where it's only using like half of that 1.28 gallons that, you know, if you need it. So there's all kind of different things there as far as on the commode side. There's a lot of different options now, you know, and there's so many commodes out there now. There's so many different water savers and everything else. But most common that you'll see now is the 1.28 gallon. And if you're buying an older house, a lot of times it's going to have the 3.5 gallon. So that may be something to look at and consider. If, you know, if you're looking at something, you know, if that's something that interests you, is maybe check on what kind of commodes are in there. If there are they 3.5 gallon flush, and you know what, you know, do you want to change them out to the new 1.28 gallon flush?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, as far as life of your fixtures. You went to your life. A lot of times the life of your fixtures is your water quality and your water pressure. Even like your fill valves and your commodes. I mean, water pressure will wear them out. Anywhere in the Tyler, Jacksonville, Bullard, any area, pretty much really in East Texas nowadays, the way that we have grown, our water mains have grown, our water pressure has grown. It's pretty much high water pressure anywhere you go now in East Texas. We go to a lot of these older houses, and you know, we have problems, and we put a pressure gauge on an outside faucet, and we're looking at, we're all over 100 pounds of water pressure.
Wow.
And so so now we're coming in, and we're actually installing a pressure regulating valve before the water enters the house, and that's a lot of the wear and tear of life of any fixture, from your commode to your lavatory faucet, kitchen sink, your appliances, your water heater, your actual water system. You know, it's, they're not made to handle those high water pressures.
Right.
And your water quality. I mean, your, you know, the, that's another thing too is, you know, we have to put, the water companies have to put certain things in the water for to meet TCEQ, you know, rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have different things. We have hardness, we have calcium, we have chlorine. There's just numerous things that will actually just wear, you know, eat the parts out, the internal parts in your faucets, your shower valves, your water heaters, you know, which is, so going back to, you know, life of the fixtures, I mean, number one thing, I would always check my water pressure and see what kind of pressure I had coming into my home. And then I'd actually check my water quality and see what kind of water quality from wherever rural water system I'm at. It may be city water, maybe municipal water out in the country, or well water. And I would check the water quality, and that's going to be the life of your fixtures a lot there.
Mm-hmm. well, before we run out of time, and I didn't anticipate running out of time with the subject of plumbing, but yeah, we could probably cover a lot more. What I wanted to do in the last, we got about 6-7 minutes here before the end of the show. You know, can you talk a little bit about weatherization and preventative things that homeowners can do here in the next few minutes here? And I appreciate all the information, but I wanted squeeze that in before the end of the show.
Right. No, this time of year especially, I mean, we're coming in, you know, our winter starts December and goes through February. And it's really like the 3 months out of the year that we really see the cold weather. And there's several things. I mean, if it's a home that you're living in every day, I would say, you know, if it's pier and beam house, you know, it's not on slab, make sure your pipes are insulated with a fiberglass type insulation. Especially if there's no underpinning around it, especially make sure that those pipes are insulated. If you do have underpinning, I would make sure that your access doors are on. Anything that you can keep that cold air from off your pipes would be a huge help. As far as inside the house, if we reach those nights that are really, really cold in the teens, which are not real common, but they do happen a couple times a year, I would make sure that, you know, wherever those plumbing fixtures are, bathrooms, kitchens, wherever they are, that they do have heat going to them. You know, if you have central heat, that's great. Make sure all your vents are open. If not, make sure you got a door open that's allowing that warm air to enter that room. Maybe even open up a cabinet door to where that warm air can get underneath the cabinet to those pipes. And if it's really, really cold, and another thing that you can also do is especially like plumbing on the outside wall inside the house. So, you know, you have a lavatory faucet that's on the outside wall of the house, and maybe let that faucet run. Not turn it wide open, but a little bit more than a drip, just like a steady small stream, just for the night. Don't run off and leave it for days like that, but just overnight, if you can just maybe crack it and leave it on, that's another way to keep things from freezing up.
Makes that water harder to freeze if it's moving, right?
Exactly. If it's moving and you're allowing where there's not just a blockage to start in there. And but like I say, that you make sure you're getting warm air circulated throughout your home. Make sure, you know, open a cabinet door on the outside wall underneath the sink, let that warm air get underneath that cabinet to those pipes, you know, leave a faucet running. Your outside faucets, You can also wrap them in some kind of fiberglass insulation. Go down to your hardware store, your Lowe's, your Home Depot, and get your faucet covers. Make sure you have those put on. And make sure, you know, close your garage door down. Make sure your garage door is shut down if your water heater's in the garage that night. Just anything to keep the actual air off of your system. Anything you can keep it off of is what you're after.
Okay. Yeah, those are all great points and can save homeowners thousands of dollars for sure.
Yes, sir. You know, well, if you're actually going to try to dewinterize, like if you're but if you're winterizing a home that you're actually not living at, there's a lot more steps to go to it. I mean, you need to call your plumbing contractor to come out, because you actually need, you know, we have certain types of non-toxic antifreeze that we can put down the actual P-traps in there where they won't freeze. We can put down your commodes. We can actually put we'll actually take a compressor and put 60 pounds of air through your system and blow all the water out of your water system, you know. So there are several things that, you know, if you're trying to give, you know, to an actual house that you're actually maybe it's just a winter house or weekend house or something.
Okay, so for ones that are sitting, because there are people that, you know.
Yes, sir. If there's ones that's sitting for sure and you're not going to be there for weeks at a time, I would definitely say, I mean, you can do it yourself. Call your plumbing contractor, but I would definitely time out, take a compressor, shut the main water off to your house, purge out all your lines with about 60 pounds of air, hot and cold, drain the water heater. You can go down to, most time you can find it like your RV dealerships, wherever your RV dealerships, your closest one is, they have a lot of the non-toxic antifreeze that you can actually, drain your commode tanks down, put a little bit of that non-toxic antifreeze in your bowl, a little bit in the tank, and then just put like maybe a cup full down every drain. But after you put that antifreeze in, make sure you don't use any water after that.
Yeah, you got to flush it out all the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a puppy in my studio, as you can probably hear, but no big deal. Well, I tell you what, that's all been, I mean, I think that's great information. I never really knew about the antifreeze. Makes sense, you know, to pressurize or to blow the water out, turn the water lines off, and then blow the water so you don't have any water just sitting in the pipes or sitting in any of the traps or whatever. So that makes sense. And then you just put the antifreeze in there, you know, to protect any freeze-ups while you're not there or while the heater's not on and you're away. So that makes some good sense right there, definitely. Well, I wanted to just remind the listeners that we have been talking with Brandon Bannister. He's with Bannister Plumbing. And also our featured realtor this week is Chris McGeary. And if you're looking at the video player there or the slideshow player, you'll see some of her listings there. So reach out to her if you're interested in any of those listings. And we've just been talking with Brandon about plumbing. He's given us a lot of good information, a lot of good tips. You can always reach out, you know, to them. And there's our 90-second warning. So once again, Brandon, I want to thank you, you know, for being on the show. We are wrapping it up for today. And if you need any help with plumbing matters, just give Brandon a call there at Bannister Plumbing. And I think he'll take pretty good care of you. You seem to pretty much know a whole lot of information when it comes to plumbing, and I think you guys are top notch. Any last words Brandon, in the last 60 seconds?
No,
we got?
I thank you for letting me join in on the show and letting me share whatever information I could share, and we do appreciate it.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks so much for being on the show. We're going to wrap it up for today, and I apologize for the dogs in the background, but, you know, we're in East Texas, and I think everybody has dogs, right? So
yes,
that's just the way it goes. But thanks so much, Brandon, and we're going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget to mark your calendars, folks. We have one more live show next Monday at 3 p.m., and then our final show for the year will be our Christmas show on the 25th. So until next week, my name is Brad Richard. I'm your host of the Texas Big Real Estate Show. And until next week, just remember, there's no place like home. And we'll catch you all back here Monday at 3 p.m. next Monday afternoon. Bye for now.
Thank you.